eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 11, to the choir master of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow, they have fitted their arrow to the string, to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Even as I record this reflection and this podcast, I'm looking out my window to the west in my office. Got a small window that faces that direction, and I see the storms rolling in. As a matter of fact, now there's a pretty good thunderstorm that's coming in from the north and west. And so I can hear just the beginnings of the rumbles of thunder. Psalm 11 then sort of stands to me as an image of a sailor who's holding fast to the ship's wheel as they're going through a storm. And that really is, again, that this idea of holding fast to it to remain steady against the wind and the waves, as well as to navigate the challenges that are in front of them. And this psalm speaks to certainly the trials and the struggles that we have in life, especially in those first three verses when it's being addressed by someone who's speaking to the psalmist. Soul, flee like a bird to the mountain. The image that it uses is this idea of hunting in the dark, of being pursued, of ultimately then the foundations being destroyed. And so this one is interesting in Psalm 11 that there's many people sort of addressing, sort of being spoken to in this, and that the psalmist is speaking to. So Golden Gay, in his commentary on page 188, he says this, that these addressees can presumably be identified with the faithful and upright who appear in the psalm, so written as an encouragement to them. And back to the quote, but its actual audience could be any of the characters it mentions. That could thus be Yahweh. The psalm could be a covert declaration to Yahweh and a challenge to him to justify the trust it declares. Or it could be the attackers. It could indirectly be designed to warn them that they will not frighten the object of their attacks into fleeing, and or to warn them to change, and so basically a warning to them. Or it could be the speaker's own self, the words being designed to bolster the very boldness and trust they express. And so it could be the audience of the faithful. It could very well be God himself. It could be the attackers, and obviously to the person who is writing it, to David, when he pens this psalm. And I think all of those make sense, that it is this sort of bolstering, I should say, of confidence and of security and, yes, steadfastness that we want to maintain. Spurgeon, actually, in his commentary, says this is the psalm of steadfastness. Which, really, when you look at what can erode that, I think Spurgeon is insightful when he says this in his commentary. When Satan cannot overthrow us by presumption, how craftily will he seek to ruin us by distrust? He will employ our dearest friends to argue us out of our confidence, and he will use such plausible logic that unless we once for all assert our immovable trust in Jehovah, he will make us like the timid bird which flies to the mountain whenever danger presents itself. And so that the opposite then of steadfastness, in the sense of the trust in Yahweh, in the Lord, who is in his temple, who is not terrified of the foundations being eroded, who tests the hearts of men and who punishes the unjust and upholds the upright, our assertion of steadfastness and confidence in him goes against the distrust that happens around us. And pity, I might say, the person who is the type of friend who would sow seeds of distrust in others. you do not want to be the one in verse 2 or verse 1 going through verse 2 and 3 who is addressing David this way, saying that you can simply just escape out of these problems. Taking it back to Golden Gate, I feel like I'm relying heavy on commentaries today, but there was just so much good stuff even in this short psalm. And it says this, when the foundations collapse, you can flit. That's the word that Golden Gate uses, I think. Let me go back and look at what he titles his chapter. He says, yes, stay or flit. That idea of the word being like a bird. And so you can flit like Elijah. You can seek to rebuild them like the Deuteronomists. You can preach like Amos. Tell stories to build faith like Genesis. Promise a better future like Isaiah. Or feel overwhelmed like Ecclesiastes. And so I might not necessarily agree with Golden Gate on his application of Genesis and the Deuteronomists, but drawing this biblical picture of the ways that we can respond when the foundations collapse, when things seem to be going bad, when there is a difficulty or a struggle in life. But I like how he sums it up. Or you can just stand tall and look for Yahweh to act like the psalmist. There you go. It's just that easy. And here's the thing, and this is how we'll, as we get ready to close, we'll close with this, that if I don't know how to stand tall, I can at least define what it isn't. How many of you have seen the movie Cool Hand Luke? It's one of my favorites. And one of the first times they meet, I think it actually is the first time that Cool Hand Luke meets the captain, the one who's sort of over this prison camp they're in. He refers to the fact that the prisoners can get rabbit in them, this idea that they'll try to run and go home. And he constantly refers to that in the movie as rabbit. And so he will help you by punishing you and then ultimately giving you a pair of leg chains to slow you down a little bit. And it's this wonderful scene. They're just sort of chilling to a degree in how nice the captain is saying it. But that's, I might not know what standing tall is exactly, but I can tell you it doesn't look like a rabbit. It doesn't run. It doesn't flee when there's danger. It doesn't simply disappear in order to protect its own self-interests and its own life. And so when we look to our own steadfastness, we need to understand that it's many times just staying there. Being strong, being firm in our faith. And so that's what we look to. And again, a quote from Spurgeon that he had in his commentary. So I grab it here from behind me. He had a wonderful quote talking about the way that we understand in the language of faith what it means to be steadfast. And he says this. Says, there is no such word as impossibility in the language of faith. That martial grace knows how to fight and conquer, but she knows not how to flee. And so it's this picture that we have of standing firm. Ephesians 6:13 that says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. That's the picture that we have as Christians of steadfastness, that even in the days of difficulty and challenge, we speak to those attacking us. We speak to those around us who are faithful. We speak to those questioning our motives and questioning our trust. And ultimately, we address God when we remain steadfast in the faith. I pray you have a blessed week and that you may prosper like the tree planted by streams of water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under The Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.